Today's lesson is from Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. It is on page 1163 of the Brown Bible. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Teach us, O Lord, the way of your word, and we will keep it to the end. Amen.
If you take out your sermon outline for this morning, peace, brother. It's those of us who are maybe a little bit older can remember the more of the hippie days when that was a common greeting. Oh, yeah. If you haven't already silenced your cell phones, if you could please do so at this time, we'd appreciate it. If you have something to write with to fill in the blanks as we go along, that would be great. Let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father God, again, we thank you for this time of the year, Christmas season, and we just pray that we'll be able to experience more and more of your love, that we can share your love with others around us. And Father, certainly at this stage of human history and in our own context here in America, we certainly can appreciate the whole concept of peace and the need for peace. We pray that through your word and through your spirit impressing your truths upon our hearts and lives, that we would experience more and more of your divine peace. And so, Father, we commit this time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. The first point in your outline is the primacy of peace, meaning simply whether or not people are consciously aware of it or not, everyone is seeking inner peace. It's not the kind of thing where you talk to your friends or somebody at work and say, hey, what's the thing that, you know, we're all striving for? And they're not going to say, oh, it's inner peace. So that's, I'm looking for inner peace. But if we stop and think about it, we realize certainly through experience, you look at people in the world today, it's just the problem is that people are seeking that inner peace in all the wrong places. The people who think that inner peace and fulfillment and satisfaction can be found through wealth, through fame and fortune, often find that that is certainly not the case. I've shared with this congregation before in previous messages that I could see this in my own parents growing up. It was sort of a sad testimony, but it was one that was very real and made a deep impression upon me because I could see it before I began to understand things in God's Word, about God teaching us these principles and these truths about where to find inner peace. It cannot be found, it cannot be experienced through the things in this world. And that was certainly my experience growing up, and later, of course, in coming into a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, understanding and applying and living out His Word and seeing this reality. But the reality is that people are looking for it in the wrong places and cannot find it there. Capital B, how do we define peace? Well, this is part of the problem, is if we only look at peace as an external experience, meaning, you know, whatever problem or challenge we may be facing right now, we think, if God would just take all those things away, then I would have peace. And in a sense, we would. We would have an external sense of tranquility and absence of turmoil and conflict. However, having the absence of external turmoil and conflict does not guarantee an internal, inner experience of deep, abiding peace and fulfillment in life. There are people who seem to have everything, who have little or no turmoil or stress in their lives externally, but they're still missing something on the inside. And this is why we have to turn elsewhere. And this is why I'm suggesting that one definition of peace, at least from God's perspective, is not merely the absence of external turmoil. It is the presence of God's divine peace within. And that can only be experienced through a personal relationship with the living God. Number two in your outline, the Prince of Peace is Jesus. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Now, many of us have heard this passage before. There are hymns written about this and have the same truth conveyed. But Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Now, Isaiah is an interesting book in the Bible because, you know, some of you know that it has 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. You know how many books are in the entire Bible? 66. And the book of Isaiah can be broken into two main sections, chapters 1 to 39, which really focuses on God's judgment. You know how many books in the Old Testament in the Bible? 39. In the second section, there are 27 chapters, chapters 40 to 66. And the focus there is on more of God's reconciliation, God's comfort. And after we experience judgment, there's comfort, God's comfort. You know how many books in the New Testament? 27. So the book of Isaiah kind of mirrors the entire Bible for us. And we have here in chapter 9, verse 6, a messianic prophecy, meaning it's foretelling something about the coming Messiah. And that, of course, is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. His first coming, when he came 2,000 years ago, he was the suffering servant. But we know that Jesus is coming back. In the second coming, he will return as the conquering king. In the first coming of Jesus, he provides and offers individual peace through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In the second coming, Jesus will bring peace to the entire world externally as well. The first coming of Jesus, the followers of Jesus throughout these last couple thousand years, we are to help bring about the spiritual kingdom of God through personal salvation. As we come into a relationship with God, we experience inner peace, but we also help build a sense of peace in our communities and beyond. When Jesus returns a second time, he will establish God's physical kingdom here on earth as well. He is the Prince of Peace. The primacy of peace, this is something that everyone is seeking and everyone wants to experience, but where to find it? Through a personal relationship with the Prince of Peace. And finally, number three in your outline, the promises of peace in John chapter 14, verse 27. Let's go ahead and bring that up. John 14, 27. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." You notice this is a gift from Jesus. His supernatural abiding peace is a gift, and we need to receive it by faith. Is it possible for Christians not to experience this peace? Yeah, certainly. Those of us who have a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, we can certainly testify there are plenty of times in our lives where we are not experiencing that inner peace. It is something that has to be practiced, something that has to be received as a gift day by day. As we wake up in the morning, as there's different things are happening all around us, whether in our personal lives, whether in our community, whether in our nation or world. And certainly there are things happening. If you watch the news, we all understand. During our prayer time later, we'll remember the victims' families of the terrorist act in Southern California. These things are happening all around us. So the question is, as a Christian, how do I experience this inner peace? It must be received daily by faith. And it's a gift from Jesus. He says, "I do not give to you as the world gives." What does that mean? That means the world promises all kinds of things, all kinds of wonderful experiences, but it's more of a hope. You know, they hope that we have peace. But we can experience the reality of peace, divine, supernatural peace, that only God can give us through faith in Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, that was read just a moment ago. Let's bring that up. Thank you. The Bible tells us, God tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a promise that God gives to every one of us who has a personal relationship through faith in Jesus Christ. We can exchange all of our anxieties and worries for God's supernatural peace. How? Through prayer with thanksgiving. Now, to illustrate this, I need two volunteers. And if you've been around here, you know, for the last 7 years, whenever I do something like this, I don't do it that often. But you know that if you volunteer, you will definitely get something from me. Okay, Karen, come on up. She just raised her hand. And I need a young person. I'll tell you what you can get right up front. Okay, you're going to get a young person. Sorry. you will get a real autographed card of your Cassidy of the Sacramento King. Okay, so do I have a young person? No, I want an adult and a young person. No, one of our teenagers. Come on up. Brandon? No. Come on up. Okay, all right. Mario, come on up. All right, there are a lot of things in life that obviously we can be anxious about. Now, this is not for you personally. I just want you to represent your whole different generation. Okay, so what are some things, Karen, that adults might be anxious about?
Paying bills.
Okay, bills. What else?
Relationships,
okay. Anything else? that's enough. That's plenty. Okay. About health. Okay. So some things. So young people. What are some things that young people might be anxious about, Mario? School. Grades. Friends. Okay. Hey, hang on. You're going too fast. Okay. Okay. Friends. Okay. What else? Okay. You got school, grades, friends. You're good at complaining. Okay, good at complaining. All right. All right, that's enough. That's three. So, okay, just hang on to that. And hang on to that, Karen. Bills, relationships, health. Okay. All right. I've got an offer for you. You can crumble that up and hand it to me in exchange for this autographed sports card, or you can just hang on to it yourself. What would you like to do? You want to hang on to your problems and anxieties, or do you want to trade them? Okay, go ahead and crumple it up. Crumple it up. Okay. Hand it to me, and there you go. There you go. There you go. Thank you very much. Give him a big hand. Wasn't that? That was relatively painless, wasn't it? It's a very simple object lesson. Hopefully, it makes a simple point, though. God doesn't make things complicated for us as His children. He really makes things as simple as possible. But so often we choose, for whatever reason, to hang on to our own anxieties and stress and worries. You say, why would anybody do that rather than exchange it for God's supernatural peace, which transcends all understanding, which will guard my heart and my mind in Christ? Why would I hang on to it? And you think, well, is it possibly because we don't trust God? Is it possibly because if we exchange it and give it all to God, we are putting our trust in Him? We don't have control of it anymore. We're saying, here it is, God. I'm going to trust you with it. I'm not going to hang on to it. I'm not going to try to control it myself. Now, here's the thing. Obviously, God's not saying, okay, as my children, go ahead and hand me all your troubles, and then just sit back and do nothing. That's a very passive approach to trusting God. It's an active trust. God expects us to use our common sense, to use the wisdom that He's given to us, to use the human resources that He's given to us. But ultimately, my trust is not in my own human ability or my own human resources to handle whatever might be causing my stress. Ultimately, my trust is in Almighty God. And with prayer, with thanksgiving. Prayer with thanksgiving means I don't just ask God for stuff like a shopping list. But I ask God for the requests that are near to my heart that I'm concerned about, with a spirit of thanksgiving, with an attitude of thanksgiving. I thank God that I can trust Him. I thank God that He's always been there. I thank God that He's faithful and loving and has always been my Heavenly Father through my personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I thank God for that. And so God may not choose to remove the sorts of stress or turmoil in our lives. As we all remember what happened to Jesus the night before He was crucified. He was in the garden praying, and three times He asked the Father to remove this cup from Him, meaning remove this whole thing that was coming up. He knew what was going to happen. And yet, every time He prayed, God, if possible, may this be removed, He said, but not my will be done, but Your will. So that's the kind of trust and faith we need to have. God, no matter what kind of turmoil or I might be facing in my own personal life, at work, at home, in my nation, in the world, all the different sources of potential anxiety and worry, I can choose instead prayer with thanksgiving. And I can have this incredible exchange from God. Here, God, here's all my anxiety and worry. And instead, in place, I experience a supernatural, divine peace of God that passes all understanding, meaning this is one of the greatest testimonies we have to non-believers around us, because when they see that we're not stressed out, and there's good reason, humanly speaking, to be stressed out, and they wonder, how come you're not stressed out? How come you're not anxious about it? And we have the opportunity of explaining. Because my ultimate confidence is not in all the human resources I may have or that even our nation has, but it's in the Almighty God of the universe. And he's my Heavenly Father. And I know that as I experience his love, I can share his love with others around me. The primacy of peace, the Prince of Peace, the promise of peace that we can all experience through faith in Jesus Christ. That's a choice for us today. If you're here today and you're not sure if you have a personal relationship with God, we trust that as we close in prayer, that will be your simple prayer of faith. That God, I'm not sure what it means to be a Christian or what it means to have a relationship with you, but right now, by faith, I believe that Jesus is God's Son. He died for my sin. He rose from the dead. And that's what it means to become a Christian. If we're here today and we've already prayed that prayer sometime, some point in the past in our lives, we know we're a child of God, and yet we're still stressed out about something that's happening in our lives today. That can still be our choice. By prayer with thanksgiving, God, help me. Help me to just release this anxiety, this worry, into your hands. And as my loving Heavenly Father, I want to experience your peace, which goes way beyond any human comprehension. And you will guard my heart and my mind through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer and then prepare for the Lord's table. Let's pray together. Father God, right now, each of us is at our own particular specific place in our relationship with you. There might be some here today who are not sure if they have a personal relationship with you. Regardless of what their experience has been with church or with Christianity, Father, I pray that right now you might make it crystal clear in their hearts and their minds what it means to become a Christian. It's not all about doing good works and doing Christian-type things or religious activities, but it's all about a personal relationship with you, the living God. I pray that right now they might put their faith and trust in you, to simply trust that Jesus is your Son, that he died for our sin and rose from the dead and is alive today, and that they might begin a whole never-ending relationship with you, the living God, by simple faith and trust in you. And Father God, for the rest of us who know that we have a relationship with you, maybe we've been stressing out about something going on in our personal lives. Maybe it's something that only you know about. But Father, you know our hearts and you know our minds. You know that we've been troubled. And right now we can make a choice. We can decide that we want to present our anxieties and our worries to you in prayer with thanksgiving to receive the greatest exchange we could possibly experience, and that is your divine peace that will guard our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that you made it all possible through the sacrifice of your Son. And thank you that through his death and through his resurrection, we can experience that whole new life. And thank you that as we partake in communion in a few moments, we thank you that these are tangible symbols of the body and blood of Christ. And I pray that we would prepare our hearts and our minds and our lives to partake of the elements in a manner which would honor and glorify you. And so, Father, we thank you for this time and commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to prepare for communion, just a reminder of the way that we go about taking communion here at CCC. After I read some scripture, we'll just ask you that when you're ready, and just take your time because we have plenty of time. The sermon is intentionally shorter on Communion Sundays. But just come out of your pews and come down the center aisle. There'll be two lines. Each line will lead to one of these two tables. And when you're at the front of the table, either as an individual, a couple, small group, family, whatever, just pause for a moment of prayer and just thank God for his incredible love for us. And then when you're ready, just take one of the little wafers and dip it in the juice and then partake of it right here at the table. And then when you're done, just return to your seats using the outside aisles, okay? Let me just read a couple of verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. Father God, thanks again for this particular ceremony that you instituted with the early church from the very beginning after Jesus was crucified and resurrected. Thank you that you provided this for your people, for your children, to remind all of us of what Jesus has done for us, that as we partake of these elements, we would do it in a manner which would be just representing hearts and lives that are filled with gratitude and praise to you. And so, Father, draw us closer to yourself through this whole ceremony. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.